This morning is going to be a little different from normal. We're not working our way through a passage verse by verse today. I would like you to participate some. This is the first day of 2017. I know you're all aware of that. The first day or New Year's Day is a time of year that a lot of people either set new goals or make resolutions, whatever you may call them. There are some things that you may want to go differently in 2017 from the way they went in 2016. Did anybody make any kind of goal, resolution, decision at all for 2017? Have you been taking stock a little bit? Some folks do that. Some people say, it's just another day. It doesn't matter. But in that vein, I would like for us to kind of go back to basics and talk about what our church is about, what our goals are as a group for this coming year. They're the same goals that we've had since we started. Does anybody know what the three words are that are part of our church philosophy? Philosophy of ministry.
Learn, grow, share.
Learn, grow, share. You all probably don't even see it because it's there every week, but it's right there on your song sheet or bulletin. It says learn, grow, share. It's on the website. Why? Because I couldn't think of any other words to put on there? No. Because it's part of who we are and what we want to accomplish. So, briefly, I'd like to review that. What are we supposed to be learning together? We're supposed to be learning about God, His gospel, salvation. Jesus invited disciples to come and learn from Him. In Matthew 11, He said, "Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me." He was inviting them to come and learn. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, and you acknowledge that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. What is a disciple? A disciple is a learner, someone who is learning to be like his teacher. And that is part of what we want to be about, a big part of it, to be more like Jesus, to learn of him. How do we do that? As we learn, we will grow. One of my favorite verses is 2 Peter 3:18. The second half of it says, "Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Grow in grace, grow in knowledge. What is grace? Grace is gift, is what the word means. We sometimes define it as God's kindness to us. Blessings poured out on us. As we receive blessings, we can give those to others. Share those blessings with others. So we're growing in knowledge of God, and growing in the grace, growing in our knowledge of the gospel, growing in different aspects of the Christian life. That's not the only place that talks about growing. Ephesians chapter 4 is talking about the church. And verse 14 through 16 says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. He's saying, don't be confused, don't be misled, don't be led astray, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up. Hear that? Grow up in all things into Him who is the head. Who's that? Who is the head of the church? Jesus Christ. Very good. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him. Again, growing to become more like Jesus. So they go together, don't they? Learning, being a disciple, becoming more like Jesus. Growing, becoming more like Jesus. Verse 16, from the whole body, talking about the church, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, it causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. What does the word edify mean? To edify means to build up, right? To build up. So this growth individually results in growth collectively. We are growing together to be more like Jesus. We are growing in this local group, this local congregation of Christ's body, the church. But if we just get together and we learn some stuff, that's good, but that's not all of it. We are supposed to share that with other people. What are we supposed to share? Well, we're supposed to share the gospel. That's kind of obvious. If you've been around here any time at all, we remind one another of the gospel on Sundays and Wednesdays, and we share the gospel, and we sometimes call that witness to other people, and give tracts, and greet neighbors, and share Scripture with other people. All of that. But the verse that I just read at the end of that passage in Ephesians, it says that the body is going to grow as every part does its share and causes growth in the body for the edifying. We said that means building up of itself in love. If we are growing individually and as a group, growing spiritually is what I'm referring to, then we have something to share. We're going to share with one another. It's not just about finding someone who doesn't know Jesus to tell that person. We should do that. But as we grow, we should be sharing it with one another as well. A few minutes ago, I gave you an opportunity to share something that God has taught you this past year. That's the idea, that as we come together, we share something. God taught me this. God showed me this verse. God did this to answer my prayer last week. That is also the type of sharing that we're talking about. So learning and growing and sharing. If you've been here for our series on the book of Acts, then you may remember that we've talked about the apostles saying, we are going to give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Anybody remember that? Does that ring a bell with anybody? No, I've never heard that before. Oh, there's, okay. Kate remembers that we've talked about that. So, if we're going to give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word, then what is that going to look like? I'd like to focus primarily on the Bible in the next little bit. Why should we be in the word? Okay? Can anybody think of a reason we should be in the word, that we should be opening the Bible during the week, not just on Sundays? To share the truth, is that what you said? Spread the truth, to know the truth. Yes, absolutely. Good.
To keep that relationship.
To keep a relationship going with God. Very good. That exactly. She stole yours. Okay?
To obey.
It is hard to obey if you don't know the rules, right? So we read the Bible in part so that we will know how to obey and what to do. Okay, you've already hit several things that I had down. One is for guidance. If you're thinking, I have some big decisions to make in this next year. I may have some big decisions to make in this next week. I need guidance. I need help. I need wisdom. Then you better be in the Word, because Psalm 119:105 says, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It is going to illuminate, to let us see where we are going, to show the way for us. You may think, I have some big changes coming in my life, or I may have some big changes coming in my life. Well, the word also provides stability. Later in that same psalm, it says, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. If you want stability in your life, that you're not being tossed all over the place or on a roller coaster every day, up and down and up and down. If you want stability in your life, you need to be in this word. Because this says, those who love the Bible, those who love God's law, have great peace. Would you like to have great peace in 2017? You need to be in this book. Nothing causes them to stumble. You hate tripping on something in the dark, in the middle of the night? A Lego? Aha, yes. Some of us have done this before. Or the corner of a piece of furniture? If you don't want to stumble, if you don't want to trip and fall, you need to be studying the Word of God. How many of you would like to be successful and prosperous in 2017? Some of you don't want to be successful. How many of you want to be failures at everything in 2017? Okay, come on. If you want to be successful and prosperous, there are some people probably in churches around this country and around the world today who are saying that if you are right with God, that nothing bad will ever happen to you. That is not what I'm saying. Not that type of prosperous. But rather, as God defines it, being successful and prosperous. And in our scripture reading a while ago in Joshua chapter 1, we read this verse, Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. If you want prosperity and success as God defines it for today, this week, this month, this year, what do you need to do? You need to have this book of the law, the word, not departing from your mouth, meditating on it day and night. interacting with the Word of God on a regular basis. All day long is what that suggests there. You may be thinking, I don't know how we're going to make ends meet this year. I don't know how we're going to buy groceries next week. God will provide for you. Matthew 6 is the Sermon on the Mount, and you may want to turn there. I'm going to read several verses here. Matthew 6, starting in verse 25. This passage, the basic idea is don't worry. Trust God, seek His kingdom. Those ideas, this is probably familiar to you, but I'm going to read it. Matthew 6, 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature or one day to his life? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry. It's the third time he said, don't worry. Saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Some of you were here when we worked through that passage in Matthew. It pretty well covers the things we worry about as far as material needs. What am I going to eat? Where am I going to sleep? What am I going to wear? He's saying, don't worry about those things. Why? Because God's going to take care of those things. There is an if idea in this. If you will do this, God will take care of that. What's the this? What is our part in this equation? Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the righteousness of God. And these things are going to be taken care of. God's going to provide for you. In connection with food, at least, which was one of those, in Matthew 4:4, Jesus is out in the wilderness, has fasted for 40 days and nights, hasn't eaten anything, he's been praying, and the devil comes and tempts him. And his response from Deuteronomy to one of those trials, one of those temptations, is to say, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Not by food by itself. That's not how you're going to live your life. You need to live by the words of God. So, again, this is the beginning of January. Some people decide they're going to go on a diet. All right? How many of you do not plan to eat any food in the year 2017? No hands up. Okay. So you plan to eat food, probably today. Most of you have probably already eaten some food today, right? Okay, I hope so. Otherwise, we're going to hear your stomach growling in a minute. So we plan to eat. That's one of the things that we're not supposed to worry about. And yet we think, okay, what's for lunch? What's for supper? This is saying that we need to be just as concerned about the Word of God as we are about food. I don't think any of you would forget to eat food. I mean, once in a while you might. You might be playing, you might be working, and you might not eat. But you're not going to go the whole day. And you're definitely not going to go the whole week without eating. Your body will tell you, right? Well, when you go a day or a week without interacting with the Word of God, does your spirit tell you? Do you feel weak? Spiritually speaking, is your stomach growling when you haven't been in this Word? That's the way we should be according to what Jesus taught us through his temptation. And all of this comes down to, how are we going to change this year? Well, all Scripture is profitable, according to 2 Timothy 3. It's given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. If you want to be ready for what you're going to be called to do this year, if you want to change to be more like Jesus, we need to be in this word. Now, some of you may very well be thinking, Bob, I've tried this before. I've tried reading the Bible on my own, and I just didn't get anything out of it. It's just a bunch of ancient stuff, and it doesn't make any sense to me, or the words are too hard. I can understand feeling that way. Some of you kids I'm looking at, I remember feeling that way when I was your age. But the fact is, this is not a dead book. This is a living word of God. Jesus. Peter is speaking to Jesus in John 6:68. Jesus had just asked, are you also going to leave? Because a bunch of people had just left following Jesus. And he turned to his disciples and said, are you too going to go away? And I like Peter's response. He says, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. These are the words of eternal life. Do we care? Do we act like they are? Hebrews 4:12, we look at this passage. Quote it regularly around here as well. The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces, it divides our soul and spirit. It discerns the thoughts and intents of our heart. The word of God is living and powerful. Do you believe that? Is this just a book that you carry to church sometimes on Sundays or on Wednesdays? Or do you believe that this is the words of life, that this is what God has provided to meet our spiritual needs? Some of you may be thinking, I don't get it. I've read it. It just goes straight over my head. I don't understand what it's saying. Been there, done that. Hey, I study each week, and there are times I start out, there are times I finish studying, and I still think, I have no idea what that's saying. But it can be understood. Because if you are a child of God, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ as Savior, you have the Holy Spirit inside you, right? Part of the Spirit's job is to teach. Listen to this verse from John 16:13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. Who's going to lead you into truth? Who's going to help you understand the Bible? I just told you. Who's going to help you? The Holy Spirit. Okay? How can He help? Well, He's with you all the time, indwelling you as a believer. And if you've had a good teacher in school, or some of you have your mom or dad as a teacher, a really good teacher knows the material, right? Do you think the Holy Spirit knows what's in the Bible? I read to you earlier, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. 2 Peter tells us that holy men of God spoke or wrote down as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. He's the author. It's the Word of God. Jesus is the living Word. The Holy Spirit moved in men to write down. So He's the author. Don't you think He should be able to explain it to us in our hearts if we are seeking Him? All right, so I gave you some reasons, kind of the why of this, but how? Practically speaking, if we're going to give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word, what will that look like? Well, the first one they mention in Acts 6:4 is prayer. We can do that together, and we do that together. We gather, we pray. We share prayer requests, some on Wednesday nights. We did a whole series and continue occasionally to go through a psalm or another passage and pray. We call it worship-based prayer, praying a psalm or some other scripture passage back to God. So rather than have us here all day, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on prayer, but it is important. It is part of the equation. We speak to God in prayer. That's all prayer is. It's talking to God. And if all we ever did was read this book and never talk to God, that would be kind of one-sided, wouldn't it? So it has to be both. But right now, like I said, we're focusing primarily on interacting with the Word of God. So let me ask you a question. Those of you who are younger, we're going to have to make this a text message or something. Those of us who are older, those of you who are married, when you were dating, did you write notes, letters, emails, anything back and forth? Did you ever write anything, a card, greeting card? Okay. If you had written that to your loved one and that person never opened it, even now, if Rochelle sends me a text and I see on my phone, yeah, she sent me a text. I'm not going to read it. I'm not going to open it. It might be important, but I don't know because I'm not going to find out. Would that make any sense? If you have a boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, and that person writes a special card, a Valentine's card, a birthday card to you. Thanks for the card. I'm just going to leave it in the envelope. Maybe I'll open it next year. Does that make any sense? Is that what you would do? No. Why? Why? You want to know what it says. Okay? You all know where I'm going. God has given us the good news of the gospel. He has given us His word. And yet so often we don't open it. Yes, I have a Bible. I know where I keep it so that I'll have it to take with me to church on Sundays. We don't open it. We don't read it. We've covered this information before, but a couple times a year is probably what we need for this. What are the ways we interact with Scripture? I'll go through them in detail, but we've gone through this enough. Hopefully you can come up with some of them. How can we interact with the Word of God? There are five ways that we normally talk about. Give me one.
Memorize,
okay? And worship is good. That's not one of the five, but it fits in. So we'll come back to that in a minute.
Read it.
Okay, that's kind of basic. You might not have even thought of that, but read it. So read it, memorize it. What else?
Try to live it.
Try to live it. Very good. So obey it. That's good.
Listen to it.
To hear it, okay? The verses I've read so far today, that's what you're doing right now, right? You're listening to the Word of God. So listening. Memorizing, reading.
Learn it.
Very good. Study it is what I'm going to call that. But that's exactly what we're after here. Okay? So we've gotten four.
Share it.
That's very good. That's not on my list. But it's very good. We should be sharing. We should be worshiping through Scripture. Those are good.
Pray it.
Okay. So if we take pray and worship, I'm going to put those together. I'm going to call that meditate. Okay? Very much. That's what we're going to do. And if we do all those things, we're going to obey it, right? So briefly, we're going to talk through how do we do that. To hear. Usually in the Bible, when you see a command, when you read a command, to hear, it means to hear with the intention of obeying. It's not just, okay, I'm going to read a verse today, and if I like it, I'm going to do it. Rather, it's, I'm going to read this because I want to know what God's Word says so that I can obey it. Literally, if we're talking about hearing, it is what we can listen to. So you're listening to it through this challenge right now. Other sermons here, other teaching on Wednesday nights. Plenty of good stuff available online that you can listen to sermons. Or simply listen to someone reading the Bible. In some cases, it's acted out with different characters. But listening to the Word of God. Here's what Jesus said in John 5. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. So what do we have to do to have everlasting life? Hear the word and believe. And shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. A similar idea connecting these hear and read concepts. Revelation 1:3. Don't know if you've ever tried to read the book of Revelation, but right there at the outset it says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. You want blessing on your life? Read or listen to the book of Revelation. Now you want to talk about things that are hard to understand. There are some things in there, but a lot of it is just pretty straightforward. We may not know the implications of it, but it says there's a beast. There must be a beast. Says there's a dragon. Says there's a bull. Says there's a trumpet. We receive blessing by hearing and reading the Word of God. Specifically, that's applied to Revelation. Deuteronomy 17, books of Moses, back to the beginning of the Bible. Instructions for kings. They didn't even have a king yet. They hadn't have judges yet. All they have is Moses at that point. But there are instructions for later on when they would have a king. That king is supposed to have a copy of the Word of God. The law is all they had at that point. Have a copy of the law. Have it near him. And some of us are good at that part. Yes, I have several Bibles. They're on the shelf at home. But that's not all he was supposed to have. He was supposed to, this is Deuteronomy 17, 19, it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes. So there it is again. Part of the purpose of reading it and knowing what it says is to obey it. So what's it saying? If you're going to be the king, you have to have a copy of the law. And not just own a copy of the law, but you are supposed to read it. Did you catch how often he's supposed to read it? Every day. The king, someone who is supposed to be wise and understanding. He is supposed to read every day. So let's stop there for just a second and talk about ways to do that. I've encouraged you all in the past, and perhaps some of you have. How many of you read some sort of reading plan to read a portion of the Bible this past year? Okay, great. There are lots of plans out there. You can read a book of the Bible. And I know my kids have done that. They've read the book of Acts or the book of John or whatever you may want to read. So it's wonderful to have something to help you do it systematically, like this king was supposed to read it day by day. There are ways that you can get through the New Testament in a year, ways to get through the entire Bible in a year. My great aunt never got married, so she was retired, living by herself, but she convicted me greatly because I was thinking, yeah, I read through the Bible last year. I'm doing pretty well. I'm reading through the Bible again this year. She said, the first thing I do for my Bible reading every year is read through the Bible. Usually takes me 3 or 4 months, and then I'm done. I'm thinking, wow. Now, yes, she's retired. Did I mention that she was also legally blind? So she could see, but it was work for her. How many of us are willing just to open it? We have technology. We have tablets and phones and other ways that we can easily keep up with our reading plan or even have it read to us. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to make the time to do that? Let's go back. Take a step back for a second. How many of you wouldn't care if you missed lunch? Yeah, it depends on what we're having. How many of you care if you're going to miss supper too? Oh, and by the way, no snacks. That would bother me. Anybody else? Oh, yes. Helping some people put hands up. Okay. Would it bother you if you couldn't read the Bible for a day or for a week or for a month? No, I'm fine. We'll go to church once or twice a week. We're good. Or do we really live, spiritually speaking, live to eat our next meal from the Bible? That's what I would love to see in me and in all of you this year, that we would take seriously this word. That we would go after a reading plan. I posted one on Facebook that I have begun. So, day one, Old Testament, New Testament, and every other day there's a psalm or a proverb. So, whatever plan you're after, reading is different from the next one we're going to talk about, studying. Reading, it just means read it. But I don't understand. Read it. If you can read 19 verses or 27 verses, or if you're in a long chapter, 67 verses, and not understand anything you read, then come see me. We'll work on some reading comprehension. But most of you can understand something, get something. I'm supposed to do this. Or this says that my heart is deceitful and lies to me. I need to be careful today. Some bit of wisdom. If you have the Holy Spirit inside you and you are diligently seeking God in His Word, you're going to get something. But read it. You can go fairly quickly, depending on the speed at which you read, because that's not the same as this next one, studying. You should do some of that too. But I'm encouraging you, read each day. That's what the king was commanded to do in Deuteronomy 17, to read it all the days of his life. But studying. 2 Timothy 2:15. King James is the way I memorized it when I was little. Study to show yourself approved to God, right? New King James has it. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This goes back to something somebody said early on, that we're supposed to read it to know what it says, to learn what it says. I hope that you're comparing what you read in the Bible with what you hear me teach on Sundays. Yes, I'm human. I could misspeak. But if I am going after something that the Bible doesn't say, then I hope that one of you will respectfully come to me and show me. Because I am studying, I am trying to, when it says rightly divide, it's talking about like with a scalpel. You do not want a surgeon who is going to cut on you coming with a butter knife. You do not want him coming with a rusty blade. You want him to be able to cut skillfully. You don't want to say words you never want to hear. Well, this will be a first for someone who is going to perform surgery on you. You want someone who's skillful, someone who's trained, someone who has a steady hand and a good tool. That's the way we're supposed to be with the Bible. Tell me, how in the world are we going to be skillful in dividing truth, in knowing what is right and what is wrong, if we never read this book? I don't know how to do that. I don't get it by osmosis. I can't put my Bible under my pillow and hope that I get it the next day. You have to be in it. You have to study it. You have to put some work into it. What, for me at least, is probably even more work is memorizing. Have any of you memorized at least one verse this past year? All the kids' hands should go up, because I know you're working on verses pretty much every Wednesday night, right? That's wonderful. Why? Why do you do that? So I can get a prize. Good. I'm glad for the prizes. We do want to encourage and motivate, but why do we memorize? Why do we hide God's word in our heart?
So that when we're struggling, we can know the verses and they'll comfort us.
When we're struggling, we'll know the verses and they'll comfort us. That means when we're discouraged. That also means when we're tempted to sin, to do what is wrong, that can protect us. Okay? That's what Psalm 119:11 says. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. So I am glad that the kids have memorized verses this year. Adults, have we worked toward memorizing any verses? The kids are turning around looking at you. Probably you have. Probably you've helped them memorize theirs. That helps, doesn't it? But are we doing anything to hide God's word in our heart that we wouldn't sin? And then the last one is to meditate. Psalm 119:197 says, "Oh, how I love your law." You say, "I love the Bible." Well, how would we know? One way we would know is that it is my meditation all the day. What does that mean? How many of you have ever seen a farm animal, like a cow or a sheep?
No.
Okay. What do they do all day long?
Eat.
They eat? Okay. What do they eat?
Grass.
Grass, hay, stuff that grows out in the field. But the thing about a cow or a sheep, they have multiple stomachs. Ever learned this in biology, in science class? They have multiple stomachs. They actually digest it some and then spit it back up and chew it some. And swallow it back down, and spit it back up, and swallow it back down. The term is ruminate. And it's not very pleasant, is it? That is not the way we eat our food, thank goodness. But that's the way meditation is supposed to work. Spiritually speaking. You can get the whole throwing up thing out of your mind now. But to bring it back to mind. To bring it back over and over and over. Yeah, I read this in the Bible this morning. One way to help with that, remember we're learning, growing, sharing. Tell somebody what you read. Tell your parents. Tell somebody who is saved. Tell somebody who isn't saved. Here's what I read this morning. This is really good. Let me share this with you. To share it with others and to bring it back over and over to our minds. That's what we read in Joshua 1:8 a while ago. You are not supposed to let the law depart from your mouth, but to meditate, to think about it, to bring it back to your mind over and over and over, day and night. so that you can observe to do what is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. So what are we saying here? We've talked about learn, grow, share. We've talked about giving ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. For our group, for our congregation, kind of where I see us as a group, different stages of development spiritually. Some have been saved a long time, some a short time. Some have begun to grow recently. I think I could say that just about everybody in the room, I could think of a way that I know that you've grown in the last year, which is wonderful. But for those of us old enough to learn from the Bible on our own, to read, do we make this a priority? Because I feel like the people who are coming regularly to our church are on board. You believe that the Bible is important. Otherwise, I don't think you would be at this church. But at the same time, I think we are sometimes too content to let the teacher, let the pastor, let somebody study it and then give it to me, rather than studying, being diligent on our own. Are we committed? Do we want to see change and growth in this area this year? Because even as we look at learn, grow, share, I need to learn it. Well, by coming here Sunday, by coming here Wednesday, you're going to learn it. By coming to men's Bible study, women's Bible study, you're going to interact with the Bible. That's good. But I think your growth is going to be a lot faster, a lot more significant if you're doing something on your own. I've talked to various people. If you have to study something to teach it, you learn it a lot better, don't you? Some of us need more teaching opportunities so that we'll be studying more. So that we will learn and grow and then share it with others. And it's not going to happen overnight. A friend of mine is a chaplain in the military, and he put this on Facebook a couple days ago. He quoted 1 Timothy 4:7-8, "Exercise yourself toward godliness, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." The point is not against physical exercise, for Paul uses that as a legitimate analogy. In fact, what profit we do see from physical exercise is magnified so much more when we apply the same principles of discipline, exertion, and fatigue to our spiritual lives. I do not wake up one day and win a marathon, physically or spiritually. I know at least one, I think a couple people are members of gyms. You go work out. Okay? Is this true? If you go once in 2017, how's that going to go? If you go once a month in 2017, well, I just want to get my money's worth. I'm paying monthly for this. How's that going to go? Is it going to do any good? If you go once a week, it's a little better, but still not going to do much. Okay, that's physically. We understand I cannot go run a marathon. I can't run a 5K. I can't run if I don't work up to it. Okay? We understand that. I got to get on the treadmill. I got to work up to this. We get that. Why don't we get it spiritually? I'm good. Once a week is all I need for the Bible. We don't practice that in our eating. Most of us eat 3 meals a day plus snacks. At least that's the way it goes at our house. Most of us who are trying to do any type of exercise don't do it once in a while or when we feel like it. So what I'm encouraging you to do is to take that next step and do something on your own with this book. How do we do it? We talked about reading, studying, memorizing, meditating. Help me out. What's the other thing I didn't say? Hearing, right? Listening. What are you going to do? We're at the beginning of the year. That's a good time to set new goals. What are you going to do? I'm going to listen to the Word of God for 10 minutes this week. You say, that's not very much. Nope. Is it 10 minutes more than you did last week? I'm going to read one chapter of the Bible this week. Or every day this week. If you want ideas about ways to do it, I'll talk to you as long as you want. But I can't and don't even want to make you do it. I want you to want to do it. The last thing I'm going to say is that if you make any kind of commitment toward prayer or Bible reading or any other spiritual discipline for this year, you're human. I'm human. We're going to fail. If you don't make every day or every week or whatever your goal is, just get up and keep going. A righteous person falls 7 times and gets up again. If you're committed to doing this, if you're sick, you may not be able to work out that day. You say, okay, I blew it. I'm not working out ever again because I missed a day. No. So let's encourage one another, build one another up in this area, these spiritual disciplines. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? If the Lord has spoken to you about something specific today and you would like prayer as we close this service, would you simply look up at me, make eye contact with me? You can look back down. I'll be glad to remember you. Yes. Yes. Any others? Father, we thank you that you've given us your word. We have it so readily available. We have it in our language. We have it, many of us have several copies, or we have electronic copies available to us. And it's so convenient, and yet it's so easy to ignore. It is so easy to fail to make this a priority. And I pray that we would grow this year in these areas, prayer, and especially Bible reading, Bible listening, Bible memorizing, Bible meditating, that we would interact with your word, that we would encourage one another in our families, in our homes, in our Bible studies, that we would be committed to you and to your word and to growing in grace and knowledge of you. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in this room. Lord, I pray for those who have said that you have specifically spoken to them about something this morning. Lord, that you would give your grace abundantly, that they would be able to obey whatever you have led them to do. Please protect us from the evil one. One of his aims is to discourage us, and we have read that we are supposed to be courageous and be strong and be bold for you. And I pray that you would help us to do that this year. Lord, use us however you see fit. May we please you. May we honor and glorify your name. For it's in that name that we pray these things. Amen.